So today is the eighth day of Pesach, Shemini Shel Pesach, the eighth day, which we commemorate the Israelites going through the Red Sea and coming out on dry ground, being able to praise the Lord for his deliverance. And of course I certainly am looking forward to the end of today so I can start eating normal bread once again. Put away that matzah stuff, which it's lovely for the first 3 days, and then it starts getting too much. So instead of reading from the Torah today, from Exodus, from Deuteronomy, which is the reading for today, for this particular parasha, I'd like us to focus on the few days after the death and burial and resurrection of Yeshua the Messiah. I'm always fascinated by the account of these few days after Passover, after the Easter weekend, if you like it, after the death, burial, and resurrection, what happened with the disciples. And I want us to read a little bit of that in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. And let's see, we will pick up that story. We're going to pick it up right in verse 13. So a bit of a reading today, and I'll comment as we go along in this reading. Fascinating account, of course. The whole context of this reading, of this particular passage, was they had just seen Yeshua handed over to the Romans. Perhaps that was, of course, according to tradition, on the Thursday night after they had a Pesach Seder with together, Yeshua had with his disciples. Then they go to the Garden of Gethsemane. Yeshua is handed over to the Romans. That whole night he gets shunted backwards and forwards between Pontius Pilate, between Caiaphas the high priest, and they find him guilty of blasphemy. They hand him over to the Romans. He's executed on the cross on the Friday. He's buried before Friday evening. He's in the tomb for 3 days and three nights, as I explained last week, according to Jewish reckoning of days. He rises from the dead early, anytime after sunset on Saturday night. Anytime after sunset, he rises from the dead. And of course, then the disciples, the women, are the first to go and look for him. They want to anoint his body, and they find that he is not there. And so now they're confused, and then Yeshua reveals himself to them. And of course, they then go back and tell the others, but there's a lot of confusion as to what has happened. And we pick up the story when these two disciples are walking back to Emmaus, which is, according to some accounts, south of Jerusalem. On the road to Emmaus, verse 13, that very day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. So, of course, this is on their minds. They're thinking about all the events, these tumultuous events in Jerusalem that weekend. While they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. So, of course, not only was he in his resurrected body, but, of course, he had the ability to hide himself from them. They didn't recognize him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" I love this. I just get so much out of this reading. So he kind of inquires of them, "What are you talking about?" And they stood still, looking sad. So they're very depressed. They're despondent. In their minds, Yeshua had failed to be the Messiah. He failed to come and bring the kingdom. He was put to death by the Romans, and it was all over. It was game over, as far as they were concerned. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know these things that have happened in these days? And he said to them, what things? So of course he baits them a little bit to get them to talk about what's just happened. And they said to him, concerning Yeshua of Nazareth, Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. And how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. See, we had hoped. Their hopes were dashed. They were depressed, despondent. Yeshua, in their minds, had failed to be the Messiah. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things have happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb earlier this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary that the Messiah would suffer these things and enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Well, how long do you think that might have taken? I wonder how he sat down with his disciples, giving them a Bible study on that road to Emmaus, going through Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, the three sections of the Tanakh, which we'll see mentioned a little bit later again, and explaining how all those scriptures speak of him. So that would have been a most amazing Bible study. And they comment on this a little bit later. So let's read on. So they drew near to the village to which they were going, Emmaus. He acted as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, saying, stay with us, for it is toward evening and the day is now far spent. So he went in to stay with them. Don't you ever do that when you kind of really want to be invited, but you pretend like you don't want to be invited? Then they get invited in and you're very happy about it. When he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. What bread were they still eating? Matzah. The bread of affliction. So they were eating matzah still, because it's the third day. And so, just after the third day. And so they're still eating matzah. It's still the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He blessed it and broke it. And their eyes were opened and they recognized him. I wonder why their eyes were opened at that moment. I reckon it's got to do with the breaking of the bread. On Thursday night at the Pesach Seder, he blessed the bread and he broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, this is my body. And as he broke that bread, that snap kind of the bread snapped them out of their blindness towards him. And maybe they saw the scars on his hands, the nail prints on his hands when he broke the bread. Perhaps that was what it was. But in any case, they saw him and they recognized him. Their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight, just like that. Boom. Gone. They said to each other, did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures. I love that. Weren't our hearts burning within us? It's wonderful when you have that experience, when you know God is speaking to you from his word, and his word is being revealed to you, and it is as if your hearts are on fire. You've got this burning sensation. God is speaking. You've received revelation. And their hearts were burning on that road as they received that Bible study from Yeshua. Verse 33, and they rose the same hour and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, the Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon. Then they told what had happened on the road and how he was known to them in the breaking of bread. Hi, John. And so now, of course, they go back to the 11, you know, 12 minus Judas, 11 of them, and they report what happened to them on that road and how when he broke the bread, they recognized him and then he disappeared. You know, all this stuff is happening. And verse 36, as they were talking about these things, Yeshua himself stood among them and said to them, Shalom Aleichem. How amazing is that? They're talking about, oh, we saw him, oh, he wasn't at the tomb, oh, he revealed himself, and next thing he's there. But they were startled and frightened, and they thought they saw a spirit, or in some translations, a ghost. So, of course, you know, if you just buried someone, and then next thing he's standing there, you'd also think you've seen a ghost. And he said to them, why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet. This is I myself. See my hands and my feet with the scars, the holes from the nails that kept him on the cross. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have. And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they still disbelieved for joy and were marveling, he said to them, have you anything here to eat? I love that too. So Jewish. So me, really. Now, what is there to eat? Why did he want something to eat? Well, he was hungry. He's been kicking Satan's butt as he descended to hell to set the captives free for that whole day at least. And now he rose from the dead and he's hungry. He's got a resurrected body which still gets hungry because he wants to eat. And he's got, you know, bones and hands and feet and flesh. And they gave him a piece of broiled fish. And when I was in Russia, I said to them, well, you know, this is one place where you could say that Jesus was Russian. Gave him a piece of broiled fish, but of course, pretty Jewish as well. Gave him some fish, and he took it and ate before them. They watched him eat this fish. He devoured that fish and realized, wow, it's really him. I mean, Yeshua loved fish, right? Remember when he revealed himself to the disciples next to the lake? They were fishing. And then they caught a whole lot of fish, 153, and then took it to the side and they cooked the fish on the shore of the Sea of Galilee and ate it. So he loved fish. Then he said to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you. He reminded them, I've told you about this. I told you I was going to die at the hands of, handed over by the chief priests and the elders, be executed by the Gentiles. He said, I told you about all these things. I told you while I was still with you that everything written about me in the law, Torah, and the prophets, Nevi'im, and the Psalms, parts of the Ketuvim, must be fulfilled. Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. This is what we have to pray for ourselves. I mean, I know that God has opened our minds. We can continually pray for more. And let's pray this for our Jewish people who do not know. They read Torah. They read Torah, Nevi'im, Ketuvim, and they don't see Messiah. There's a veil on our eyes. We need to pray that Yeshua would, by his grace, would open their minds as well to understand the scriptures. And he said to them, thus it is written that the Messiah should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations. So here is Luke's version of the Great Commission, Yeshua is now saying to his disciples, now repentance of sin has to be preached, proclaimed to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Beginning in Jerusalem, not just geographically. I think this is a principle that Yeshua expressed, and also how Paul himself took the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Gentile, beginning in Jerusalem and then Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And you are witnesses of these things. You are. I'm talking about you over here and us together. We are witnesses of these things. And behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And so Luke here, of course, is going to be continuing on this story in Acts chapter 1 and 2, which really you could see as one whole book. We have it as two books, Luke and Acts, but it's really a continuation. And so we are the witnesses of these things. We are called to proclaim this repentance of sin and forgiveness of sin in his name to all nations, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. But we cannot do that on our own power and our own abilities. And God help us when we do. And when we are trying to do it in our own power and abilities, what happens? We get worn out and frustrated. We need to be relying on the power that God gives us through his Ruach HaKodesh. Behold, I'm sending you the promise of my Father upon you, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And of course, 50 days later, in the book of Acts, we see how this promise from the Father was fulfilled. The Holy Spirit was poured out on these first believers, and they became bold proclaimers of the good news to all people, to the Jew first and to the Gentiles. Stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as He led them out as far as Bethany, and lifting up his hands, he blessed them. What blessing do you think he might have blessed them with? What's the blessing of the lifting of the hands? It's literally called that. The Aaronic benediction, I reckon it must have been that one. It's called the blessing of the lifting of the hands, because always had to raise your hands to bless with that blessing. And while he blessed them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Good things to see. These disciples was just so overjoyed. They had seen him die, they had seen him buried, and now they've seen the resurrected Messiah, and they're full of joy, full of revelation, full of the Spirit of God. And then you can continue reading Acts chapter 1. So let's just pray. Lord, thank you for these things that we see in these days after the resurrection. And even as we read in Acts chapter 1, Lord, how you revealed yourself to your disciples and taught them about the kingdom of God. Lord, we pray that you teach us too about the kingdom of God and empower us to be your witnesses on this earth at this time. For we ask, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen.